Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Common Sense Show. Thanks for staying with us into our guest segment. We're fortunate enough to have my old friend, Paul Preston, and he's going to be joining us in this segment. And if you don't know who Paul is, okay, it's okay. You might be new to the movement, and welcome. And we all start somewhere. I had my day one, too. But Paul is the host of Agenda 21 Radio, which is one of the most popular radio shows in all of the country. He also is the president of the New California Movement, which will negate a lot of the negative power that comes out of California as America's most populous state. And, do we need to negate Pelosi and Feinstein and all of them. So he's got his nose in some really important stuff. He's very well connected, and you're going to hear that as we go through. So we're going to kind of talk about the status of America and what lies ahead on the road between now and the election in November. And America's in the balance because I really think I loved Governor Abbott. Let me tell you something. I love the man. I respect him so much. And today he just crapped on his citizens. Oh, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, you can go out and protest all you want. Everybody else, if you want to get out in public and have a large gathering, you have to get government approval. Really. So now we have rules for thee and not for me. And it's incredible. I cannot believe he did this. And he was one of my idols. So we're going to get into that as well, too. But anyway, before we get to Paul, we got to pay a couple bills. Okay, number one, ladies and gentlemen, we are in a situation where we are being set up to have food used as a weapon. I have described it on the commonsenseshow.com many, many times. We've talked about it here and we've done shows on it. And we have 20 empty meatpacking plants, and I'm not going to go on to all the details, but let's just say it's there, it's happening. Food inflation's happening. My wife was quoted when she went to buy meat. They told her you can only have so much. And they told my sister the same exact thing. So folks, please believe me, you need to make food preparation part of your daily plan, because there's going to come a time when food inflation hits and this economy continues to buckle that you are not going to be able to get these products. And there's going to come a time, and I already know this, and I'll just be in such mourning because I love working with the people at MPS. But there's going to come a day, and they know it too. They see what's coming. So ladies and gentlemen, restaurant quality food, no glyphosates, no GMOs, 25-year shelf life. Go to preparewithdave.com and take advantage of the 40% off savings, $100 off the 4-week emergency package, and you can buy multiple sets. That's preparewithdave.com. And if you have food, you have to have water. And I'll tell you, folks, if the society continues to deteriorate and the water's not drinkable out of your tap, you need a good filter, and we've got the Alexa Pro Pure Water Filter. It's the best there is. The research that shows you that is at waterwithdave.com, compares to all the competitors, and it just kicks butt, and they're offering 40% off, waterwithdave.com. So you've got the food with preparewithdave.com, you've got the water with waterwithdave.com, and now we've got Paul Preston, who sat through this lengthy intro, and he's with Dave. Thanks, Paul. Hey, thanks for joining us, my friend. I'm so glad you could be with us. And I come into this interview with a really heavy heart today. Usually I'm really upbeat, optimistic, and I think we're going to end up winning. But when Texas is going down and they're getting ready to close again, Paul, it's hard to remain optimistic.
Well, you know, here's what people need to start realizing. Like out here in California, the governor came out and made it a mandate that everybody's got to wear their mask. And regardless if you're in, out, wherever you're at, you always have to wear the mask. Well, you know, as you know, and as we've all been finding out, it's a very, very dangerous proposition for people to wear masks in the fashion that they're being requested to do so 24/7, basically, wherever you go, you have to wear a mask and all that stuff. You know, hypoxia sets in very quickly in people that are wearing masks. They don't even know it. They walk around feeling a little lightheaded and dizzy. Well, that's because you have too much carbon dioxide in your bloodstream. And that's something that happens all the time with the mask. The masks are not sterile, and the masks, you know, certainly do not filter out the COVID virus. A lot of people are misled about that. Most of the viruses that enter your body come through the mucosa of your eye membranes. And if you really want to avoid the COVID virus, you have to be completely suited up with a mask and a suit, you know, that's taped with your wrists are taped and your hands are gloved up, and a shield for your eyes. I mean, this is something that's going to cost you $10,000 to walk around, to go around, you know, the community. And in cases of virology, and we've seen this, viruses, you know, they run their course usually starting in October if it's going to be a flu or a cold or something like that. And then they kind of really taper off when they get into summertime. Now, this one's supposedly unique, and they've been telling us it's a unique virus and the possibility of it coming back in the summertime, which that doesn't really happen a lot with this particular type of species of virus. But they're telling us it is. And of course, suddenly in California and in Texas, you have all these huge outbreaks and all the hospitals are being swamped. Well, the truth be known, there was a nurse, a brave, very brave nurse who came out last week or the beginning of the week. And I think his name is Tim Thompson, a pastor in Riverside County. He's got a great series out there. They blew the whistle, and they blew the whistle on the people that are being brought over from Mexico, specifically Mexicali here in California. And by the hundreds, by the thousands, are coming across the border, and they're sick. And they're being facilitated by helicopter and distributed throughout the state of California into the hospitals. And that's what's caused the spike, Dave. Now, I'm sure that same process is going on, a little bit different variant in Texas. We haven't quite followed up on that. But that's the main reason. In fact, the people will tell you, especially in Southern California, Riverside County, San Bernardino County, Imperial County, San Diego County, they'll tell you that before this recent spike, the trend line for COVID virus was doing the traditional thing that viruses do as they get into the springtime and summer season. So this outbreak matches, of course, what's actually going on in Mexico, because Mexico doesn't do a lot of testing for COVID, and they do have a lot of cases of COVID. In fact, the rate of COVID there in Mexico is that of almost that equal to Iran now, which has not been doing a very good job. Well, Mexico has really not been taking care of business with the COVID. We know that. But why should our businesses all be shut down, continue to be shut down under these emergency edicts by dictators such as Gavin Newsom? Because we're taking now, the spikes are being caused by illegal foreign nationals coming across our border that are sick with the disease and being put in our hospitals. Why should we, I think Governor Abbott should check what's going on about why the sudden spike, and the sudden spike appears to be these illegal foreign nationals.
Do you think that he's aware of this? Is he in a position to know?
I don't think so. There's such a clampdown on all the news. I don't think he understands it yet. We've been trying to communicate these things as we get them, because this is the only thing that really explains it. I mean, I'm a biologist, Dave. I'm for years a biologist and biology instructor, and taught neurology and physiology and genetics and virology. I taught all that stuff, microbiology. I taught all that stuff, and this is clearly not really how it behaves in nature. Let me put it to you that way. And so the spiking in the summertime, they promised, the World Organization, the World Health Organization, promised that there could be this spiking situation because of the genetics. Well, what we do know is that this thing has been completely genetically modified. We do understand that. And so with the modifications, there are, possibilities that something that's man-made may come back in this fashion. But it really doesn't pan out, especially now that we're finding out we're getting more illegal foreign nationals flooding across the border. They're usually coming across in the Indian territories, which is, of course, not supervised by the federal government. You have a tribe that has a property that's in Mexico, and then in the United States, they're free to come across the border, and that's allowed a lot of smuggling and drugs and things like that happen. So this is one of the sources by which these people are coming across. And California is encouraging it. In fact, Governor Newsom went down to Imperial County just recently to try and basically arrange this with some of the hospital administrators down there. And there's some messages and notes. I haven't seen them. I've had them read to me. And they're just like, wow, what they're trying to do in California. California has a budget shortfall of $85 billion. Mm-hmm. Minor little problem. And they have no way out. They can't get loans. They haven't. They're in default of their budget documents. In other words, they have to do these audits and so on, and have those available to the public and to potential bondholders. Right? It's just kind of standard procedure. Well, they haven't actually been able to produce them because people that are responsible for producing these documents are saying no, we're not going to produce them because the numbers are wrong. They're just saying no. So that's not going to get far in Wall Street if you need money. So they're trying right now desperately to borrow money from within their own budget categories. They have some like 2,000 budget categories they can start to squeeze money out of. And their shortfall is enormous, as you can imagine. But, you know, lo and behold, the federal government comes along and gives California $27 billion and $27 billion in COVID relief. So this money is supposed to go to business. Remember, they said that small businesses will count on this money and it'll go to unemployment. Well, that money was sent some time ago to the state of California. And the state of California was supposed to give this money to all these people out there that have businesses, to save their businesses, to help them through this whole thing, and to help citizens. And the bottom line is, excuse me, I got didn't disconnect the phone. The bottom line is that the state never gave the money to the people. It's, they've just held on to it to this very day. And the reason why they held on to it is because they can't go out and get money from Wall Street and other lenders to help them through the July to December period, or actually October period, when property tax starts to kick in. So they're in a real terrible bind, and worse yet, they're using money that was destined for all these businesses to keep the state of California moving as a state. That's how desperate it is out here. Imagine this. It's just amazing.
I want to ask a really unintelligent question, but because I honestly don't know the answer. When you get money from the federal government, like Newsom has, and you hold on to it, how long is it legal? Or, excuse me, let me ask it a different way. When does it become illegal to hold on to it?
It just depends on how the funds are to be. Sometimes you can hold on to it, at the most, from what I hear, 90 days before distribution. Then you have to distribute it. And usually it's distributed by way of the county treasuries. So the state distributes to the county treasury. It's not really often that it goes directly to an entity. That's just the proper normal course of distribution of funds. That's the way it's supposed to work. Mm-hmm. So usually 90 days at the max. Well, they've had this money much longer than 90 days. Much longer than 90 days right now. And of course, with more COVID virus patients, see, it's the more money the state's going to get. Get it?
I got it perfect. I get it. It's depraved indifference towards the welfare of your citizens. What's he doing with the money? Do you have any idea?
Well, right now he's just trying to pay the basic bills, which he's not going to be able to do probably after the July 1st. And we think he's going to struggle on perhaps to October 1st in this fashion. But, you know, it could all come tumbling down if the federal government, through the IRS and through the Treasury, force him to cease and desist all spending all federal funds, because he doesn't have his audit together. He's supposed to have an audit that's a yearly audit. He's 1 year behind on that right now. And there's a whole bunch of other auditable things that they're going to have to produce, because it looks pretty clear to me that the Justice Department's going to have to come in, the Inspector General from the Justice Department, Inspector General from the Treasury, Inspector General from the IRS are all going to have to come in and take a look at this. And they will put a freeze on federal dollars coming to California. That would be an absolute disaster for California. Absolute disaster. And that could all happen within just a few weeks.
Maybe. There's no rules we're playing by. That's why I don't mean to be flippant, but there's no consistency in rules that are happening anymore. I mean, just look at Abbott. Yeah, if you're Antifa, you can go out into the streets and violate social distance. Everybody else wear a mask.
Yeah, this is the dystopia that they want everybody in. And that's why somebody needs to be consistent all the time about the law. And what the law says is that they can't lay down these kind of rules, these health rules, that are infringing upon people's liberties. And in fact, there was just a Supreme Court decision, I think, that pointed that out, that de Blasio and Cuomo could not close down or interrupt religious services based upon their orders from the COVID virus. They couldn't do it. I think the Supreme Court just did that. So that just came. I was looking at Fox News. I was waiting before the interview that they popped that up there. So that's a new story out there. So that would go to the second part of the First Amendment. The First Amendment, the very first element is freedom of religion. The second part is freedom of speech and freedom, you know, to freedom of press and freedom of assembly, and then, of course, freedom to grieve. So those elements in the first, that's clear signal from the Supreme Court that all those elements they cannot stop, and they can't. But you know, they're trying to, like Governor Newsom. He's a dictator, and out here in California, you know, we're really abnormal now because we have switched from having three branches of co-equal government from one another: a judiciary, a legislative, and executive branch. Those are the three branches that all states have. They all follow that little federal model. And of course, the legislative branch consists of an assembly or a House of Representatives and a Senate. There's two bodies that go there. It's called bicameralism. And what they've effectively done out here in California is they've eliminated the legislative branch. And what's happened is that the elimination of the legislative branch means there's only two branches of government left, the executive and the judiciary. So through the system and the way they have it written right now in the laws, they've completely bastardized the government of California, so we have a pure dictator. A pure dictator.
Mm-hmm. I see that. And so there's no recourse. I mean, who's going to come and get him with the illegal money? I mean, I don't see any avenue. If Trump won't act on Antifa in Seattle, then how can we expect him to act on Newsom with this funny money?
Well, you know, it's going to be kind of an interesting thing. I think the president is setting a lot of these people up, and certainly Gavin Newsom, there's an N in there somewhere. Gavin Newsom, I think, is just getting set up. I absolutely believe he's not getting. I think he's just setting himself up for the big fall. And if I was Donald Trump, and I'm amazed at the man and what he's done here. But it's pretty obvious to me he's watching out here in California, and he's just going to let this guy put the noose around his neck and jump. I really think so. And, you know, I hate to use that metaphor because, you know, we got the Wallace thing and all this other thing out there.
Oh, yeah.
But that I think that's probably maybe puts it around his waist and jumps. But this is what he's doing to himself. And it's pretty obvious he's doing that. So and I think what the other thing was Seattle, I think the same thing. And at some point in time, Trump's going to say, you Democrats cannot handle your own state. And it's building up for Cuomo, and clearly for Cuomo. I mean, really, it's building up for him. You're going to see how this whole thing blows up here in a little bit with him. But I think that New York, I think that Illinois, in California and Seattle or Washington and also Oregon are going to see some major changes in the next 3 to 4 months. Definitely.
In my very humble opinion, Paul, where there needs to be an investigation is in Michigan and New York, when both governors respectively took positive COVID patients and put them into nursing homes.
Absolutely. You are so right. I think that it's so right. That is so evil. And again, it's evil what Newsom's doing right now by allowing, he's encouraging these people to come across the border. They're coming from Mexicali into El Centro. They use the term that the nurse was using today. That hospital there is completely overrun now with COVID patients. And, you know, the first thing she said, that when these patients were being flown in and air flighted, $36,000 to $100,000 per air flight, and the state's paying for it. Imagine this, they come into the hospitals, and as she said, that she said they're all healthy looking people. They don't seem to have the real problem. She calls them walkie talkies. They're fine, and none of them need oxygen, or very few do. And she said it's just really kind of weird the way this whole thing is going on. Well, you know what's going on. You know, they're bringing people who test positive from Mexico, doesn't matter how sick they are, and they're putting them on, you know, they're come bring them across the border, and they throw them in the hospital just to get the money, even though they're not sick.
Yeah. I just, I can look at what needs to be done from a statutory standpoint, but it's hard for me to see anyone carrying this out. Trump's going to have to cross the line that he's boxed himself into. I mean, Newsom needs to be arrested. At what point does Trump come and arrest him, in your opinion?
I think that we're seeing it right now. Because I do know, since I broke this story this morning. Now, I we broke it from the standpoint that we had heard about the people coming across the border and what was going on there. And then, of course, with the other break in the story is we put out a press release about how Newsom is funding illegally the budget right now with the COVID virus federal funds, the $27 billion. That's how he's keeping California afloat right now. And so he's betting that later on he's going to get more federal funds to keep the state budget floating. And for another 10 or 14, I think he's talking about $14 billion additional dollars downrange. And he thinks that he's going to be able to get by with that. It's not going to happen. He's just trying to push the can down the proverbial street. But the problem is he's at the end of the street and there's a big wall and he can't kick it over the wall. Yeah. You know, that's really what's happening. So I think it's going to happen very soon. And when it does happen, it happens fast. And we've been preparing our new Californians, you know, for an event. And we think that there is going to be an event. And there's high probability, as Chris Street always says, you know, these kind of things where there's big money. You know, Chris is an expert forensic accountant. He's helped the FBI. He's seen these things before. He's done workouts. And he's been a part of these things. And he says when big money goes, there's all kinds of major crazy things that happen around the collapse of big money. And he says, California, it's already getting crazy. And, you know, the governor is doing crazy things like importing sick people so that he can get money for it. It's the same thing as Cuomo, you know, what he did with sick patients going into the rest homes. Same thing, putting all the sick patients in the rest homes when they didn't need to be moved. And that was the other thing that the nurse said. She said, if these people are in Mexicali, they need to stay there in Mexicali because the high probability of the spread is very great when you're moving them around from city to city. So they're moving these people around, bringing them across the border. They're going three and four times, sometimes two times, at least on a helicopter, to different communities in California. You know, so the probability of the spread is enormous with this. So they're doing some really crazy things, but at the end of all this, as we're starting to see, which might be the end for California, desperation is setting in. And they'll do crazy things. They'll absolutely do crazy things.
Well, what kind of crazy? I can think of one, but I want to hear it from you. What kind of crazy things do you think they're going to do?
Well, I think that in the end, you're going to see violence to some degree in many places. And I think there's a national movement with Black Lives Matter to push everything into a violence mode. And I think that there, at certain places of California, they'll try and push that. I think this last time when Black Lives Matter came out, it was more like an expeditionary force throughout California. They were fairly successful in Orange County in terms of just, you know, impact of, you know, a lot of people out there protesting. And we didn't have a lot of real burning going on. We had some in San Luis Obispo. Where the burning went on were, of course, the liberal cities in California. But we had a lot of militia activity and people stepping up to stop, you know, these people from burning communities. We have San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara County, Kern County, Sutter County, Yuba County, several counties in the Gold Country area all stepped up with their sheriffs and also militia side by side. It was a pretty amazing thing to hear. We were getting inundated here. Because this was back in the time when they were telling that these police officers were taking knees in certain cities. And we were getting inundated because people were saying, what do we do? What do we do? So what it came down to, Dave, this is a great learning experience as to why the Constitution includes a militia and also the Second Amendment. But one of the communities was going to be overrun by Antifa and Black Lives Matter. And, it, you know, they're going to come in with over 1,000 people, maybe 1,500. That was the plan. And so people from New California said, you know, called the police department. They had a police department said, well, what are we going to do? And they were promising to go out in the neighborhood and, you know, steal and, you know, destroy things and burn things. And the police said, well, they're going to target the police station. And all we have are the resources to protect the police station. You're on your own. You're on your own. This is a really big city in one of the counties in New California, one of the coastal counties. And so people bonded together. And they basically stood their ground in their own neighborhoods. And as it turned out, they never showed up out there. We also asked some militia groups to come in. and we knew they were there. The presence was a little overwhelming, I think, and nothing happened. Now, up the coast from there in Paso Robles, beautiful, beautiful, San Luis Obispo County, Paso Robles, a beautiful town. And Black Lives Matters and Antifa came in there, and they were going to burn down Paso Robles. So the hell they were. People put out on Facebook, Protect Paso. People can go right now and check it out. They said they put a Protect Paso. Within about 2 hours, they had 6,000 people respond. And they all went down heavily armed and sat in front of all the businesses in Paso Robles, and Black Lives Matter came in and didn't do diddly. And here's the topper for this. I get this story about what happened, and I get it from a blogger who called in and said, God, they, you know what they did to protect Paso Robles? And I said, no, what? They said they brought in all their whips and their knives, you know, because Paso Robles is a ranching place. There's cattle all over the place in beautiful wine country. But anyway, and I said, whips and their knives. You know, they brought their knives into they slaughter the cattle with and cut the hides, and then they brought their whips. I said, the whips. And so one of our that very night, we had a call, a conference call with our county chairs, and one of the county chairs from Paso Robles said, well, that's not really the way the story went, Paul. And I said, well, how did the story go? And she said, well, everybody got all gunned up and everybody was down there in the streets protecting Paso Robles. And one guy showed up, a biker dude, and he looked like a biker dude. And he showed up and he parked his bike and he had a whip and he started cracking his whip. I guess it scared the hell out of Antifa. That would scare the hell out of me too. But anyway, so that's the story. It wasn't everybody showed up with their whips and knives and Paso Robles, but it was at least the one biker dude did.
The whip patrol.
The whip patrol, yeah. Whip
yeah.
It.
Yeah, I know. Whip it good. I think we had a song like that in the 80s, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, whip it good. And I'm not going to advocate for violence here, but you're not hearing me chastise you for bringing it up. Okay, all right. So we've got investigations going on. We've got the problems with Newsom. What's his drop dead day? In other words, all these sins will be known to the world with that exclusive of an investigation. When does it become self-evident he's a criminal with regard to this money?
Well, I think you're getting there real soon. And let me explain some about the drop dead day. There's two drop dead days for Newsom, like all governors, when they issue an emergency proclamation. In most states, the emergency proclamation goes for 60 days. Some are 30 and some are 60, because what that means is that the governor has the opportunity to act without legislation. He can just act and command that things get done. And but oddly enough, you know, we talk about this COVID virus, and when we take a little history lesson, we realize this COVID virus business was really a plan for a long time and over the years. So this is kind of how it plays out in California. And we're talking over the years since the 1990s, and it started actually in the late 80s, the 1990s, and grew to fruition in the fashion that we have it today. But it, oddly enough, in California, in 2015, they changed the Governor's Powers Act law. And what they did is they modified it so that it gave the governor full authorities regardless of the 60 days. So he could go 60 days and beyond. And the only thing that would change that is if you had a joint resolution between the Assembly and Senate to tell him to stop. Well, you know, they're not going to get a joint resolution in the Assembly and Senate. So what it effectively does is it completely leaves the legislature out of any fundamental decisions that go on by the legislature. They can't do anything. And in fact, as I was saying earlier, we have three branches of government, supposedly. We don't anymore, because the Assembly and Senate mean nothing in California. Now what we have is two branches left. We have an executive and we have a judiciary. Now I ask you, what could possibly go wrong there? Well, just about everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Put on your mask and bring in the cash. That's really what it is. He's looking for cash to keep the state afloat. And he's inconveniencing us, and he's destroying businesses. But that's okay. It's all justified if he gets billions of dollars from the federal government.
Well, then they need to shut him off. I mean,
Yeah.
I've heard enough. I mean, I'm assuming you've forwarded this to the Trump people.
Oh yeah, well, to the Justice Department. Yeah, they've all gotten this, and they've gotten the stories for a lot of other people too. The stories that we gave them with the economic information just got there 2 days ago, so they're gonna have to digest that. But they'll see immediately what this is tagged into, with this whole thing about importing illegal foreign nationals to come into our hospitals in California. They get that right away. That's already been reported by other people.
Should be a mandatory report requirement from every hospital.
Well, the hospitals, they're in bed with big money.
I know. And they should make it a crime when they catch them not reporting.
That's right.
And then fine the hell out of them. I just, to me, there, if we just follow the rule of law, we would have been okay. We can't take another shutdown, Paul. This, we won't get up from this.
No. One of the things I'm just now looking at, well, whatever I'm doing with the magically comfortable things. I'm looking at the story that just came in that the Supreme Court sided with Texas on mail-in ballots and says no to them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just saw that.
Huge, huge rule that I'll tell you. That's the single best re-election news we've heard in a while.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We'll
Because
have to see how that plays out in California, because California, that was one of the first things that Newsom ruled, is that he gave an executive order that everybody would have mail-in ballots. It got challenged, and the court said, "No, you can't do that." And so then he went to his legislature, the limp legislature that doesn't work. But he had a bill put in by the Senate in the morning, and it was passed by the Senate and the Assembly, and he signed it that very same day in the afternoon to make mail-in ballots mandatory.
And do you think he'll go into defiance of this rule?
I don't know. I don't know.
If he
That's
does,
just
doesn't that
something.
give Trump the impetus to go in and have him arrested?
Well, I think you may see something happen before that. I really do, and I think he's, like I said, I think Newsom is. I can't tell him to stop, and neither can you. We're just advising the public, and we're doing our things that we need to do. He's just hanging himself, literally. And let me put it to you this way: when a guy's digging a hole, and he thinks he's making progress and he keeps on digging, you can't take the shovel away from a guy like that.
Nor do you want to.
No, yeah, exactly. I'm not gonna take the shovel from him.
Yeah, stay with those shovel analogies and away from the rope, please.
Yeah, I will. I'm sorry. I
Yeah.
apologize to all my friends.
I just, and I know I wanted to ask you about this too, because in California, I know the legislature passed a reparations bill, and I'm not going to defend myself, but I've treated every person in my life with integrity and respect,
Yeah.
and I don't need to defend myself. I will not pay for the sins of other people from 300 years ago. I will not. That's an illegal fine. Because if we go back, let's say we went back into African culture, just to extend the argument, you're going to find injustices that happened there that carried over to some of the people who were brought here under slavery. And so, do you go back in 500 years, 1,000 years? How far back do we go now?
Well, I think it's a fundamental question about what is slavery, where it's at today, and what it was like back then. I think people, rather than focusing on the so-called sins of the past, slavery, they need to look around and say, you know what, we have slavery right here in front of our faces, and it's destroying our own country. Yet we're tolerating it. We're not saying anything about it. We're not mentioning anything about it. Human trafficking is slavery. I don't care what anybody says. People are being bought and sold, and just like in slave times. But it's just take it to a little bit different complexion. And for whatever reason, you have churches that are associated with it because they're making a lot of money. These nonprofits that are associated with it, they're making a lot of money. And it's just like what's happening right now with these COVID patients. They're being bought and sold and brought across the border because, these guys represent about 50 grand a month or something like that, something crazy, to the hospitals that'll be servicing them once they're over on here on the border. This is a form of slavery. And why are we talking about reparations when slavery is happening right now, yet the Democrats, they don't want us to talk about it now, do they? Nancy Pelosi does not want us to talk about human trafficking because, you know, her own Democratic Party, by way of the cartels and by way of nonprofits through George Soros, the DNC gets a lot of money from this. And they get a lot of money from hustling around, you know, the drug trade. That's the way they make their money. And so they're not saying anything about this stuff. But, you know, we need to stop and check, do a gut check, like Lou Holtz used to say. You know, Lou Holtz is one of my favorite football coaches, and I always used him as an inspiration when I was coaching football. But I'll never forget the times when he'd go in at halftime and Notre Dame was down, and he'd say, well, it's time. It's a gut check time. We got to check it out. We got to do a little gut check here and come back and be stronger. And, of course, that's one of the great things of the athletics is, you know, which is a diminishment program in schools these days. But one of the things you learn is you learn how to suck it up and do a gut check. And that's what we need to do as a nation is do a gut check on human trafficking now. And then, see, we can sink the Democrats on this. Why aren't you doing something more about human trafficking, Nancy Pelosi? Why doesn't anybody ask that question? I mean, it's just to me, it's an obvious thing. What are you doing about human trafficking? Show us a bill. And she has done nothing about it. All she's done is, you know, prime the pump. Remember, it was her and other people that thought it was okay that Obama was putting kids in cages. And then they used those same pictures of kids in cages during to blame Trump were in cages. Remember that?
I remember that well. Well, I can tell you why she's not having to answer the question, because she only answers to the mainstream media, and they're not going to ask her any embarrassing questions.
Right, exactly.
I do. Exactly. I mean, Paul, let's get to the bottom line here. Okay, the bottom line is, I don't care if you're talking about COVID and the lockdowns. I don't care if you're talking about destabilization of race riots, contrived race riots. I don't care if you're talking about the mass casualty events, I believe, that are coming. I don't care if you're talking about Pelosi ignoring human trafficking and modern-day slavery. When we get down to it, the bottom line is there's a group of people in the world, some of them international, some in our deep state, that want America gone and replaced by the Bolsheviks. And in a lesser level, you have Democrats that want to be on the winning team, and they're hoping for a better position than the one they can't be elected to down the road on the way the climate of the country is right now. And then you have subversive groups like Antifa with malcontents, misfits, and people released from prison over COVID who are just happy to have a holiday from law and order. To me, that's how I see this whole thing going down. But at the end of the day, they want to take this country down. This is what it's all about.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the main artery behind it are a couple of big churches and the United Nations. And, you know, the United Nations has long been a criminal cabal. And we've just been sort of invited to hang in there. Now, we've been supplying money to try and keep this United Nations organization going. But it is clearly a national socialist. That's Nazis, for those of you that don't know, run by the Nazis and run by the communists. So there you have it. And so they want to destroy the United States because of, as Patrick Wood, who's written a book called Technocracy Rising, and of course, Trilaterals Over Washington, will tell you, it's all that they're trying to turn the world into a resource-driven world. No longer fiat currency. It's going to be all down to resources. And so nation states, which are supposed to go away, and their borders are supposed to come tumbling down, are supposed to be ruled by one group of people at the top, one world order. And, of course, it's these people who want the resources of all these nations, and the only way they're going to get it is get the people off the resources, get them off, you know, so the whole thing about depopulating the planet comes up just so the benefit of these people can rule the world. This is the reality check of what it is, ladies and gentlemen. This is it. And they pushed their plan. And here it is. It's been a plan that's been in the works since the end of World War II. Some people call it the Fourth Reich. We've heard that term before, following the Third Reich of Adolf Hitler. Now we have a Fourth Reich that's here. And it's being very well run. It's very well financed. And, you know, it's interesting now we're being able to clearly, through media such as yours and mine and all the other alternative medias, we can start to see clearly who the demons are behind all this, and start to do something about it. But this is the swamp that Trump has pledged to drain. And he's had an uphill fight. And I had a conversation with somebody in Washington day before yesterday. We talked about this uphill fight. And some of them, he was saying, and this is a very important person. Everybody knows who this person is. But they were saying they just didn't understand the degree of how deep and thick and penetrated the swamp has become around all of Washington's bureaucracy. And they under-anticipated it. They were shocked by the size and scope of it, and even said to me, like I say to people generally, that even every day, it's a new day and a new adventure to see how far this has gotten over the years. And, you know, of course, Trump's just come in. He hasn't even been there 4 years. And I asked him, I said, well, how the progress that in your estimation, knowing this now, how well do you think it's worked? He says it's worked very well. You know, they're getting down to deeper levels within the bureaucracy with people that are loyal to the president. I said, will another 4 years do it? And they said, no. Another 4 years of Trump will get it on its way. But this whole taking down the rest of the deep state and, of course, the culture that has surrounded all these bureaucracies will take another 10 to 12 years. And he says what the plan is, obviously, you can see this. They just got the 200th judge, the appellate court level, put in. The plan is to really push in as many candidates for these court vacancies, which has been their Achilles heel.
Yeah.
And one more term of Trump, you know he's probably going to get two more justices. That will really seal the deal for the next 20, 30 years, regardless of who the president is. And so you'll have conservative judges. So that's what they're trying to – you got to get them in. We got to get them elected and see how long this whole thing – you know, how it all pans out. The other part of it is the congressional districts and seats that we got to take the House back, and we got to get rid of some of these senators and put pressure on them that are – this is the rhino senators that are left over, that even Lindsey Graham as an example there, that are kind of spoiling the deal for most people in the Senate.
Yeah, Lindsey Graham has turned out to be not the friend of the people.
Right. Oh, yeah. He's a friend of Lindsey Graham's.
He wants to be on the side that's winning.
Right.
Every morning he gets up, he sticks his finger into the air. After he pulls it out of somewhere else, and he sees which way the wind is blowing, and then he goes that way. That's totally true. When you said there was going to be violence in California, especially as someone was moving on Trump, not Trump, but the governor Newsom to take him out of office, did you have in mind the group formerly known as the California State Militia?
I think yes. I think that there's a possibility that's going to play out there with them. I think they're going to run into some problems because we actually, now that I understand it, and the Antifa things and all the people crying for help and putting together the semblance of a militia for New California, and there will be, you know, and you got to remember we're building a state, Dave, and it's not like we're going to focus and all these crazies are going to come down from the woods and they're going to be a militia and all this other good stuff. No, that's not the way it works, and that's not the way we're going to work it. And, of course, we will establish, just like we will establish a National Guard, we will establish a militia. But I was absolutely stunned at, the quality of the people and who the people were. We're talking about hundreds of people that turned out to put the stops on this, and they were very professional. Antifa hated them because they were there. They infiltrated Antifa and their various events, which was devastating to them. One of the things I want to say is I observed two Antifa events, and I call them Antifa because Black Lives Matter and Antifa are terrorist organizations, and they work together even to this day. Even though Antifa was declared a terrorist organization, so far the Marxist-trained, very highly trained Black Lives Matter folks have not been, and they should be, because that's exactly what, and they're international, that's the other thing. But the situation with what I saw at these so-called rallies and the protests is that they're very, very well-trained and disciplined and structured in their protests. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was interesting that I saw a lot of grooming of children. In my professional opinion, I used to work with this kind of stuff where children had been groomed by sex offenders and so on. You know how, as an educator, you've seen this before. But this grooming that was going on with these kids, and the groups that I saw were 16-year-olds to 22-year-olds that were about 60 in the first bunch and about 45 in the other. But they had a command and control system. They had two cars back in the parking lot. It was a Jack in the Box. They had two cars in the back parking lot. Both of these gentlemen that were in the car were black men, and they had radios plugged in and microphones. And they were talking to, I called them the lieutenants that were walking on the sidewalk behind the kids that were lined up along the curb with signs and everything. And that person was getting signals, radio signals, as to what time, when to do certain cheers, what type of cheers and so on, and what kind of chants and do sign things. It was very well coordinated, very, very well coordinated. And I saw the video that happened in a couple of other places. And it turns out these, I called them the lieutenants, and this very same group that was in our town was in other locations. I got to watch their little act again. But this is they to say that they're not coordinated from one city to another, of course, is silly. And as we were following this time when they were out there and about, it was very obvious to us there was a higher command and control system going on. And that was reflected in Bill Barr's statement when he was on the Ted Cruz show yesterday, that he agreed and that they are investigating these incidents as terrorists. And in fact, they've implemented around the nation their terror watch groups for the federal government because of Black Lives Matter. So they're on it. And he said there's been arrests, there's prosecutions coming. They're examining video of especially those people that destroyed some of the federal properties or put, were disruptive. And they're doing facial recognition, and they've made arrests and they have people in jail as a result of it already.
I remember, I cannot think of her name. I think her last name starts with a P, but she's one of the co-founders of BLM. And I just came across
Oh,
something
yeah.
today that I haven't had a chance to really explore. But she's linked to Bill Ayers from the Weathermen Underground, who
Right.
was a terrorist and launched Barack Obama's political career in his Hyde Park, Chicago home.
Right. Well, Bill Ayers has a lot of affinity to Northern California, Siskiyou County, in fact. And of course, that's a redoubt, if you will, for Nancy Pelosi. Shocking. And they have worked together incessantly for years to overthrow this country. And Bill Ayers was the one who got all the Indian tribes all fired up, actually, from the Lakota Sioux to the Morongos out here in California. He's been around to virtually every Indian tribe trying to inspire them to overthrow the United States government. This has been part of his Indigenous Peoples Movement program that he started out of Siskiyou County. And that's how what really got this whole worldwide movement developed. He went down to Argentina, worked with Shining Path. And of course, he's working even to this day with Black Lives Matter in that group. Yeah, that it's all Bill Ayers inspired from the 60s. And that's why, if it says some of us that are old school, we kind of remember seeing these kind of acts and behaviors from the past. And here it is again haunting us right now.
Well, it's interesting you'd bring this up, the coordination. It's not just coordination in the country. If you look at what's going on abroad in the UK
Oh,
and
yeah.
Germany, Black Lives Matter is there spreading their mayhem as well.
Right. It's a worldwide movement. And this, you take a look and you study what happened in Nazi Germany, and you see that that's what's happening right here, right now. And they're following that model. And the model is to be disruptive, obviously. And they came out with, as an example, Antifa, even in Nazi Germany, they were anti-fascist, they said. But, they ended up, Antifa and the so-called brown shirts ended up basically being the so-called sissy boys originally. And they were very much ridiculed and made fun of. But as time went on, they stayed with it and they became the monsters, the brown shirts. And they're the ones that basically gave Adolf Hitler Germany. And that's what's rising here, I think, with Antifa and more so with Black Lives Matter. And of course, the key thing here is they, just like they did with the Jews, they're objectifying somebody based upon their ethnicity and their race. And of course, the Jewish race is what was anybody who was a Jew was forboden and evil And so they objectify them. And of course, right now, what they're doing is anybody who's white is objectified, and they're objectifying white guilt. And of course, that gets associated with what happened with the tribal nations as America grew up and was settled and so on. And the indigenous people were being pushed out. And of course, that gets all the way back down into Christopher Columbus, you know, that whole thing. So all this is being fueled by the objectification of European white guilt. And we've even shared the stories about the, you know, the discussion in 2017 in Natomas, California, right there in Sacramento, where they brought in Obama administration people, and they talked about with the gangs, the collection of people basically representing all of California gangs, said, will your gangsters turn their guns on white European Americans in California and kill them? And this is, again, when I said that in 2017 on the radio, people were just going nuts. And I said, well, and of course, now we know it's a fact. Well, they're doing it.
Just like La Raza.
Right. Well, La Raza has it in their, in all their language, and so does Mecha. They have it in all their language about killing the white Europeans.
I know. Atlan. And then I'm trying to remember here. There was a, again, it's escaped me, but Atlan came up recently in BLM. And someone was telling me a story about a place, and BLM had referred to it as Atlan. And I go, what? And,
yeah.
And they said, Atlan. And I said, spell it. And they spelled it. And what I said was, that's the takeover of the Southwest by Mecha and La Raza and the expulsion of white Europeans.
Right.
Wow, it's incredible, Paul. Absolutely.
That's not your language. That's not my language. That's their language.
That's what they said. I'm not making this up. I've written articles on this, and I've documented it. You know, and you know, they still go back to the Mexican War of 1848 as the justification for what they're doing. Again, how far back in history do we have to go?
Right.
And if you want to take some of these people back to really injustice, and they should be paying reparations, go back to what the Aztecs did.
Well, yeah.
So, you know, it's just, and see, in other words, it's, to me, even to say this, it's stupid for me to say that. But it's on a par with what.
Well, you know,
doing.
Let me tell you the story. You know, I'm a biologist, and, you know, one of the things, well, let's go back to this part of the reparation. Maybe they don't want to talk about this, but.
Yeah, and Paul, we got about 2 minutes.
I, as a biologist, I was taught about the Western cultivars and you know, old world cultivars, new world versus old world. And, you know, one of the things that the conquistadors, which were conquering people, by the way, Spanish and Catholic, they came over and found indigenous people that were, they were cannibals. And there were particular tribes, when they'd capture one of the other members of the tribes, what they'd do is slit their skin deeply, and they'd stuff their slits in their skin all over their body with peppers, chili peppers, because chili peppers were only found in the New World. They weren't found in the Old World. And so what they did is they let them stew literally and marinate for days before they cooked them and eat them. Now,
is that where that phrase came from, stewing your own juice?
Yeah, well, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I think it is.
But, you know, what about those Indians?
Yeah, I know. I hear you.
I mean, this
every culture has its wall of shame, and to use this as justification is just to perpetuate the differences and exacerbate them going forward. But see, it's divide and conquer. You see, you have to look at who controls these groups. It's not about settling racial issues or having more equality. It's about dividing and conquering, so we can't unite against these fundamental changes that are tearing down our country.
That's right. That's exactly right.
It's that simple. Well, Paul, in time we have left, tell people how they can follow your good work.
Well, Agenda 21 Radio and A21R.com is the way to get there, A21R.com. And, of course, NewCaliforniaState.com, NewCaliforniaState.com. That's the website that has all the information about New California. We're putting up a new website, and you can get to that one at NCS51.com. Maybe in a day or so, everything will be cleaned up, and you'll have the ability to get there. We're changing websites because it's got to be faster, and you know we're actually growing up in the world, and we're going to be the 51st state in no time at all. It's a very very historic movement, and things are happening right now as we speak. So
that's
very
awesome.
Very happy to be on with you, Dave.
Well, that's awesome, Paul, and it's always our pleasure to have you on. And continued good luck with the super work you're doing with the 51st State Movement and with your radio show. And we look forward to having you back again. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
Take care.